Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord you love him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. We want to take a moment and just thank you for coming out on this Christmas Eve. We certainly appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for those that are joining us online. We love you, and we thank God for all that God is doing in your life. Amen. Man, that song service was powerful. You know, those hymns that when we sing those, sometimes they just grip my heart. And I was just so moved as we were singing. And I was thinking about, Jesus. I was just thinking about him coming. You know, there's so much promise when a young woman has a child and she births that child. There is the birthing of hope and future and promise and potential. And I'm certain that in Jesus' birth, even though it was extremely unique, its circumstances, I'm certain that Mary had all of that inside her. Just wondering, what is this all about? Just wondering, what is this going to accomplish? Well, we have the benefit of the rest of the story, amen? We have the benefit of being able to look back and to see what God actually did through that birth. And this is a significant moment, amen, in time. It's something that we should value. It's something that we should cherish with all of our heart, amen, cherishing who Jesus is and his birth into our lives, not only into this planet, but into our lives, amen? Where would we be without Jesus, amen? I shudder to think, hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, we're going to look at a very familiar story there. But before I get there, I want to share with you just very quickly why I want to minister this particular story. There's many reasons that we can celebrate Christmas. There's no doubt that we can have a laundry list of things that God did for us through the birth and the life of Christ. Can you say amen? There's lots of things. But there is something in the story of Luke, in Luke's account of all that's happening at that moment, that has caught my attention. This has caught my attention for many years. It has been on my radar. It has been one of those things that I have pondered. I've hid in my heart because I believe it's so relevant for each and every one of us. And so I want to take a moment and I want to look at this, because I believe this can literally change your life if you will embrace it. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. The Bible says these words: "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Amen. Now, did you notice the last line of that text? Amen. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Listen, this is a declaration from heaven that is setting the stage for all that will come through the birth of Jesus. How many know that we live in a world that's filled right now with conflict? It's filled with chaos. It's filled with division. And peace is something I believe that all of us are longing for. We desperately need it. Can you say amen? Amen. With the lingering of COVID, the insanity of politics, the invasion of the woke agenda, the struggles within families, the uncertainty of the future, we are hungering for peace. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, peace, although it's a very common word in English, means different things to different people. See, when people talk about peace most of the time, it means the absence of war, the absence of conflict. But listen, church, it is much, much more than that. Can you say amen? The picture of peace in the Bible expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. Listen to me, I long for that. I long for the day that I can go through my daily life unaffected by what's going on the outside. Amen. Amen. Too often I find myself challenged with what's going on around me. I find myself pressured. I find myself stressed out. I find myself frustrated. I mean, even some of the most smallest innocuous things can really frustrate me. I'm certain it's true with you as well. I've shared with you jokingly. I've told you about my avarice towards the stoplights in Kingman, Arizona. You know, I'm not exactly sure who programmed them, but I'm certain they thought of me when they did it. And they said, you know what? We are going to make a way for this guy just to be out of his mind. I mean, even today, driving to church, it literally, we stopped at 7. It's like, what? It's early in the morning. There's not a car on the road. I mean, come on. You know, there's nobody. It's like, we're sitting there. It's like 15, 20 minutes. It's least. At least sitting there. And I'm longing for the day when I can drive through Kingman with peace. Can you say amen? It's where I'm not affected by this stuff on the outside. Because what peace really is, it's order. It's order in the place of chaos. And that's what we need on the inside. See, when we experience this peace, we possess a calm and an inner stability. That's what we really need. And the result is that we have the ability to remain peaceful, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. The things that would normally take us out of the game or upset us or bring trauma to our lives, we're able to go through it with a smile. That's the kind of peace that I want. And I want to be connected with that peace. I don't ever want to be moved by my circumstances. Can you say amen? Amen. The problem is, oftentimes, our peace is measured by how we feel. I'm going to tell you something. If you go through life by your feelings, you are going to be on a roller coaster ride. I mean, of proportions that you have not yet experienced. It is going to be amazing, the ride that you're going to be on. And for a little bit, it might be fun. But it's going to get old really, really quick. Because just about the time you get it figured out, it will throw a curve, because it's sophisticated. It'll throw a curveball at you. And it'll throw twists and turns that you have never, ever calculated, and you will find yourself constantly in a state of chaos. And see, the problem with measuring our peace by our feeling is that peace has nothing to do with feeling. Are you hearing me? Peace is not a feeling. It's not the result of circumstances. But peace changes circumstances. Peace is not a thing. It's not an ideal. It's not a principle. It's not even a doctrine. Peace this morning is a person. Listen to what I'm saying. Peace is a person. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus this morning is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen to that? Peace is not the absence of problems or troubles or chaos or turmoil. Peace is the presence of Jesus in our lives. That's why the angels declared for all the world to hear, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now let's take this a little deeper. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Man, get a hold of that scripture, church. That's one of those scriptures that you memorize and you keep in your arsenal for really difficult days. "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Here's the question. How does Jesus give us this peace? How does he give this of himself to us? How is this manifested? Through what way is this manifested? Well, first of all, this peace comes through surrender to God. I've been thinking a lot lately and really meditating on the idea of surrender. And the reason I have is because as a human being, we have the tendency to want to resist anything that wants to bring control, that wants to control our lives, that makes me feel like I'm not in control. Because as a human being, I like being in control. I want to call the shot. Can you say amen? If something's going to go haywire, at least I want to be the one that's making the decision for it to go haywire, right? So I want to be in control. But the problem is God wants to be in control. In fact, God needs to be in control. Because you know why? We don't control things real well. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. We have very little information. We can't see that far. So therefore, our tendency is to blow the road up in front of us when we are in control. Amen? And God says, look, I want to be in control. The problem is God just doesn't feel obligated to tell us everything. You know, you go to God and say, hey, what's going on? God's like, hey, that's need to know, and you don't need to know. Right? And I'm like, well, I think I need to know. And God goes, well, good for you. That's why they call it faith. And so somewhere along the line, this idea of surrender really is an issue. Being able to lay our lives down and saying, truly, God, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Because apart from God, there can be no lasting peace. At best, without God, the peace that you may feel will be fleeting. See, peace comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. It comes through the gospel. Can you say amen? In fact, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. In Romans chapter 10. Spurgeon said it this way, peace is the juice, the essence, and the soul of the gospel. The only way we can get this peace is through faith in Jesus. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when a sinner comes to Jesus and receives what he did for them on the cross, they will have peace with God. They will be welcomed into the family of God, and they will be reconciled, and peace will be given. See, not only can we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. See, through salvation, we are given the right, the privilege, the power to be sons and daughters of God. We're brought into right relationship with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And as we surrender to him in relationship, making him not just our Savior, but our Lord. See, we say that, we often confess that, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, but more often than not, he's more Savior than Lord. Can you say amen? But when we truly make him our Savior and our Lord through surrender, we are given this awesome supernatural power of peace. But this peace is not automatic. It does not come only through surrender, trust, and faith, but it comes through response of relationship. Listen to what I'm saying. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now notice what Jesus said. He says, in me. It's the idea of abiding. It's this idea of connecting, being engrafted. It's through this abiding relationship, this dwelling in him, that peace comes. It's intentional. It's every day waking up and saying, I'm going to connect with you again, God. I'm going to connect. I know, please, there's always the theologians that come to me and say, well, we're always connected to God. Well, every day I make a decision to reconnect. And you say, why do you do that? Not because I think that I'm lacking anything, but because I love him so much. I'm going to connect again. God, I'm connected to you. God, I want you. God, I need you. You are my necessary food. I'm going to be engrafted into you. In Psalm 91, 1 through 2, he says, he who dwells, makes his habitation, dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. That's how we get peace. But that's a decision every day, even for the Christian. So you're saying I could be a Christian and not abide under the shadow of the Almighty? You can. You can. You can live outside. You say, wow, is that true? Yeah, it is. Somewhere what we have to do is we have to bring ourselves into that place. Number two, peace comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Listen to that. What do we learn from that? We learn that peace comes through faith, and peace comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus not only gave himself on the cross to give us peace with God, but he has also given us his Spirit to indwell in us, that through that indwelling, not only are we indwelling and dwelling in him, but he is in us. And through that indwelling, we experience peace. In fact, peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We experience this peace as the Holy Spirit fills us up over and over and over again, as he empowers us, as he strengthens us through faith.
Amen.
I know that sometimes as I preach these messages, it may come across as like this is pretty easy. But oftentimes our humanity gets in the way, and so it becomes a struggle. And what we have to do, that's why the surrender part is so important. Because when you finally let go, when you finally let go, that's when you'll be free. Amen. The reason you don't feel the freedom is because you're still hanging on. You're hanging on. There was an illustration that was in a book that I read, it's probably about 10 years ago now. And this man is telling his story about how his church went through all kinds of change and evolution and all this different stuff and how God was doing things. And so in this moment, he's talking about this old vision that he had and then this new vision that God wanted to give him. And he said, he says, the thing that I learned pretty quickly is the reason I wasn't experiencing this new vision is because I wasn't really willing to let go of the old one. And he says, the reason I wasn't willing to let go of the old one is because, he said, the moment I let go, I didn't have anything. He says, because the distance between this place and that place was too far for me to stretch. So in other words, there was a moment when I let go that I was hanging on to nothing. And he said, and that was very disconcerting. He said, I felt very out of control. I felt very undone. He said, but what I had to do is in that moment when I let go of the old, I had to trust that I would be able to grab the new, that it would be forthcoming, that it would be right there. The problem is the devil is right there. That's when he begins to raise his ugly head and he begins to say, God's not going to show up. God's not going to do that. He's not going to do that for you. He might do it for John and he might do it for Kathy and he might do it for all the people down there at that church, but he ain't going to do it for you. Because you're not worthy. You're not good enough. There's too much. Well, let me tell you something. There is nothing greater than the blood of Jesus. Amen. Not your sin, not your failure, not your difficulty, not your chaos. The blood of Jesus is greater than all of that. And I know there are moments when we don't want to let go because better the devil you know. And so what we do is we hang on because it is really kind of scary. But I'm going to tell you something. Grabbing on to that next place, grabbing on to that relationship with Jesus, that making that decision to give it all to him, there's great peace. You will find how fast God will be right there. He'll be right there. It'll amaze you. Number three, peace comes through prayer and thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then, listen, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's something, that's another one of those verses we need to really embrace. Paul is telling us that rather than being anxious, if we entrust ourselves to the Lord, if we pray, if we offer thanksgiving to God, if we let our requests be made known to God, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. I've done this. There's been moments when at church, in the office, things have happened that have been beyond my ability to deal with, not knowing. It's been very, very concerning, very heavy, very stressful. Get in the truck, and as I'm going home, heading home, praying and saying, God, you know what? Here's this whole situation, and I just give it all to you. I give it all to you. I release it right now. I can't deal with it. Confident that he can. Confident that he sees it. Confident that he's moving. And when I let go, that peace, and it does pass all understanding. Because you sit back and you go, man, I ought to be worried about this. And I'm just not. I ought to be really kind of fretting. I ought to be a little frustrated. I ought to be out of control right now. But I'm not out of control. But I feel this peace, and it guards my heart and my mind. This word guard is talking of a garrison. In other words, what God does is he fortifies our hearts and our minds with his peace. You know, isn't it just like God? Think about the Christmas story. Think about you and I. You know, when if I were to think about battle, if I was going to go into battle, I want to show up with the biggest guns on the planet. I want to show up, man, I'm gonna shock and awe. You know what I mean? And I mean not the kind of the politician shock and awe. I mean like shock and awe. Like, whoa, we made them mad. Let's back up. Like, holy cow, we did this. I remember there was a comedian years ago that was talking about World War II, and he was talking about this whole joke about, you know, bombs and all of this, and he was like, you know, the here's this country that's going to, oh, we're going to fight America, and, you know, this Japanese guy raises, he says, no, two bombs. No, not 1,000 bombs, 2 bombs. See, that's the kind of shock and awe. It's like, I want to show up with the biggest, baddest weapons on the planet. I'm gonna make a mark. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not God. God invades Earth by becoming a baby. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to overcome this world as a baby. That's how God does it. Isn't that amazing? He comes in, and then God says, your greatest weapon, look at, here are 3 things that are the greatest: love, joy, peace.
Right. Amen. Come on.
That's your weapons. What's your, let me show you this new gun. This is my gun called peace. It's got a pink handle and a little doily. No. It's really powerful. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to find a, I know this is probably too much, but I'm trying to find a gun for my wife, only because sometimes we go, you know, then we're getting more and more into hiking, and if we go out in the desert, I want her to have something, so if there's a snake, you know. So I found this, it's a 380. It's, if you're a gun guy here, you know what a 380 is, but it's all pink. It's hot pink. It's great. It's like awesome. And that's what God does is, God shows up and he goes, here you go. It's this little peace thing. It's like a pea shooter. It's like this. He goes, oh yeah. Do you remember the movie Men in Black? Do you remember when the agent, whatever his name is, looks at Will Smith and gives him this little tiny gun? Here, this is, you can handle that. God gives us peace. But I'm going to tell you something. That peace, it overcomes. That peace, boy, I'll tell you what, it sends the enemy packing.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it'll stop the enemy right in his tracks. And it will guard you. And it will protect you. We also get this peace by keeping our minds fixed on him. And I don't know if I could say enough about this. This is probably the place that I struggle the most. Because I'm like that dog in that cartoon, you know, squirrel. You know, I get easily distracted. The worst thing you could do, and some friends of ours found this out the other day, we were up in Vegas and we were driving down the strip. And the problem is we were driving at night when all the lights, and I like looking at the lights. I'm driving. The driver ought not to be looking at the lights, right? Oh, look at those. Whoa, look at that, you know. This is crazy. It's like, no, watch the road. And that's somehow we live our Christianity. We're so distracted by all this stuff. We're distracted by the lies of the enemy. And the devil doesn't even have to tell good lies. Nowadays, do you notice that? Do you notice some of the conspiracy theories that are coming out now? It's like, are you jiving me, man? You believe that? I mean, do you remember back, this crowd's old enough. You remember back in the 70s and early 80s, you remember those tabloids, you know, you'd go to the grocery store and the Inquirer, and there was always, mother, you know, 96-year-old woman has baby that's half horse and half, you know, lizard or something, you know, and baby and mom are doing well, and, you know, there's people in there reading it as if it's truth. That still exists. We just see it on the internet now. And the problem is we're just a lot better at the presentation because now we got technology and computers that can make things look really good. It's seamless. It's like, look at that horse is really talking. There's a talking horse. I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes. And we buy into that stuff and we're so distracted. And the devil comes along and he just does that in our face. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God. Keep your mind on Jesus. The Bible says this. Listen, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. The fastest way to discouragement and tiredness is by taking your mind off Jesus. Finally, and Jason can come if you'd like, peace comes through his word. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. You know, I've learned a few things over the years, and as I bring this to a close, I'll share this with you. You know, I don't always understand everything I read in the Bible, even to this day. I've been saved a long time, read the Bible quite a bit, a lot over the years, reading the Bible and studying the Word of God. And not everything that I read I understand. I don't always know it, but I always read it. I understand more than I did. And through the years, I have gained knowledge and come to more understanding of the Word. In the beginning days, I remember, I still to this day remember as a kid, I remember my aunt bought me my first Bible. It was a children's Bible, and I remember reading it when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, 9 years old, and I would read it, and I wouldn't understand a thing, just nothing. It just made no sense to me. And then even in teenage years, even as I got more and more into Christianity and as a young man, and even as my calling began to develop, would read the Bible. Even as a young pastor, when I was 22, I'd read the Bible and wouldn't understand. But one of the things that happened over the years is I fell in love with His Word. And as I continued and stayed true to His Word and continued to take that Word in, continued to devour the Word, slowly but surely, understanding came. Slowly but surely, God would open up the Word to me, reveal to me the truth and the secrets and the depth of His Word. I think one of the things that happens and the reason that this becomes an issue and the reason that we don't always find peace in His Word is because because of the fact that we live in an instant society, we think things ought to happen now. And the truth is, that's not true about anything in life. Anything worth doing is worth doing for a while. And sometimes it takes time. What is it now they say? I think it's to become a master at something, you got to put 10,000 hours into something. You know, and somehow what happens is we read the Word and we get discouraged really quick. So, I don't understand that. So we just close the Bible. I'll just let the guy up front, he'll tell me what the Word says. That's not enough, church. It's not enough. No matter how good the preacher may be or how much he may be telling you, there is an expectation that we take the Word in ourselves. And you know what the great news is? It doesn't have to be large blocks of the Word. It's just consistency, feeding yourself. And I'm going to tell you, God will open it up to you. He'll begin to show you things and reveal truth to you. The Scripture promises us If we will love His law, His word, we will have great peace. And nothing will make us stumble because of His word. And I could go on with many, many more things that God has given to us to provide peace for our lives. But the point is this. When the angels came on Jesus' birth, they made a declaration and they meant it. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It wasn't a question. It was an emphatic statement. On earth, peace. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. And I know there's all kinds of stuff, prophecy and different things and all of that, but I could tell you that our God is a God of peace. And He wants His children to dwell in peace. Can you say amen to that? Why don't you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, for Your great gift of peace. And we thank You that, Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace. And that at the inauguration of Your birth, Your angels stood and declared to the world peace and goodwill to all men. And Lord, right now we receive that. We receive that peace right now. And we thank You for it, Jesus. And we give You the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to just take a few minutes more and we're going to take communion. Because communion really is about remembering. And that's what we're doing here today. That's what the celebration, that's what birthdays are about, is to remember. To remember all that Jesus has done for us by His coming to earth and walking on this planet and dying for us. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to begin to go and pass out the communion. What you're going to notice in these trays is there's going to be two cups stacked together. The top cup is going to have the juice, and the bottom cup will have the cracker. So take two cups and just hold them. If you have children with you, please, if they are of age, that you would help them with this. And so I want to remind you as they're passing this out this morning that Christmas represents the overwhelming reality that God came to earth. In fact, the Bible says His name is Emmanuel, God with us. No longer was God the resident of a spiritual heavenly place, but now He dwells among men. And Christmas represents the wonder and the mystery of God becoming a man. Jesus being fully God, yet being fully man, subject to all that man is subject to, was tested and tried, yet without sin. Tom. Give one to Jason too. And that man, Jesus, became our high priest, our eternal sacrifice, our Lord and our Savior. Christmas represents the inconceivable truth that Jesus, although He came as a baby, came to die. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it best. It says, but God demonstrates His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? That means when we were out doing our own thing, when we were completely unaware of Him and completely uninterested in Him, He was fully aware of us and fully interested in our lives, making a way so that one day we could join Him. Jesus came to this earth to show us who God is, who the Father is, to show us that we can trust our Heavenly Father. He came to show us what we could be like as the children of God and how to really live the kind of life God has designed for us. Jesus came to forgive, to wash away every sin, to wash away not just the stain of the sin, but to wash away the power of it and its consequences, so that we could be completely free, so that we could spend eternity in a perfect relationship in His presence. That's why Jesus came. That's what we're remembering today as we take this communion. And as you take this communion, I don't want you to take it lightly, because there are real benefits with this communion. And as we take them today, we can be assured that those benefits, the forgiveness and deliverance and power from sin, is with us today. That the healing for physical, mental, emotional, spiritual realities is with us today. That it can be applied right now in this place. This is not just another religious moment. This is not us just genuflecting, saying, okay, we're going to do something religious. This is us saying, Jesus, on the eve of your birth, we remember you. We remember that you, Jesus, came as a baby. You invaded earth as a baby. You grew up in the admonition of the Lord, with favor with God and all men. You walked as a man, tested and tried, yet without sin. And then you willfully and deliberately surrendered your life on the cross, enduring the shame, enduring the torture, so that the price that sin demanded on my life, on your life, could be paid. And we remember today. So the Bible says these words. Let me ask, has everyone been served? Anyone not been served? Amen. The Bible says these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says this in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" That was on the moment. That's Paul's account of that moment in the upper room when Jesus was with his disciples just before his crucifixion. And he's explaining that this bread represented the broken body of Christ, that his body was payment for our healing, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing. That he endured the stripes, the blows upon his back, the bruising, the breaking of his skin, the tearing of his flesh, so that every disease, every sickness, every pain would be eradicated. So today, as we remember Jesus' birth, let's also remember his sacrifice. And as we take this bread today, let's take it with the full awareness and understanding that this is our healing. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name, and as we take this cup, this bread, we think, Lord, of the body of Christ. We think of the torture, the beatings, the bruising, the tearing of your flesh, the stripes upon your back that your Bible says so clearly was for our healing. And Lord, right now, Not only do we receive it, we acknowledge that was the price for our healing. So in faith, right now, we receive your healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. After they had eaten the bread, he took the cup and he lifted it up and he said, you know what? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And if I can just say a word just for a moment, it would do you well to take time to study what that new covenant is. Because that covenant is your ticket, man. You didn't know you won the lottery, but you did. That covenant is huge. All the benefits of the covenant. The fact that this blood brings us into the Holy of Holies before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to stand, to kneel, to sit in the presence of the Almighty, to have access to the Father, to be called his son or daughter, to be an heir, a joint heir with Christ, to be a part of his body, to be his bride, to be a king and priest before him, to be his vessel, to be his temple, and much, much more. And so this blood is the seal of the covenant. It's the seal. It was a blood covenant. Jesus cut a covenant. And you know what he did? He spilled his blood. We know there's the forgiveness of sin and deliverance. We also know that there is righteousness and peace and joy in the blood. And so as we remember his birth, let's also remember the pouring out of his blood. That we would receive this covenant, that we would receive all that there is in it right now. Not as an act of religious duty, but the reality that in this moment, this is being applied to me. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all that you're doing. God, we thank you that you poured out your blood. You shed your blood so that we could be forgiven and delivered. But more than that, that the covenant could be established in our lives. And we receive that covenant right now through your blood. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Let's tell the Lord we love him. Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, we give you glory and we magnify you right now in this place. We thank you for your goodness. We remember you, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge your birth. We acknowledge that while tomorrow is probably not the day you were born, but Lord, we acknowledge that you were born and that you came to this earth. And Father, we acknowledge, Jesus, your birth. We also remember your death. And we thank you for all that you've done for us and through us. And we give you all the glory and all the honor, and all God's people said, amen. Praise God. Isn't God good this morning? Praise God. You know what we want you to do today? We want you to go. And on this Christmas Eve evening, we want you to go be with family. Go be with family. Go love them. Share with them. Share the love of Jesus with them. Tell them the reason for the season. Amen. And then have a great Christmas tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.